Happy summer. It's Kimberly. Kimberly and
sweaty
Stephanie.
Enough yet?
Oh my gosh. You know, it was like 104 here the other day. That was awful.
I mean, you know, Oakland was in the 90s, and I felt like I was made of like melting clay all day. I had no energy to do anything except for make a beautiful oven-cooked meal for my husband on Father's Day. Like, what was I thinking?
Oh, my God. Don't you have central air?
Hell no.
Really? Oh, God. Well, yeah, I mean, Northern California is not supposed to get so hot. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that climate crisis thing.
Yeah, that's real, because I don't know if you noticed, the other night at 1 a.m. it started hailing and lightning.
Oh, really? It didn't where I live.
Oh, yeah. That was here. We were scared. I thought the world was ending.
It is, don't you know?
It is. We're not too far away. Hope you don't live in Miami, honestly.
I know. No, never. I couldn't handle the humidity.
Well, they're not going to have to worry about handling it much past this century either.
They'll be all humidity, like all underwater.
They're gonna adapt. What is it called? Oh, they'll evolve. They'll have gills.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's so sad. How you doing, girlfriend?
I'm barely, like, you know, every day I wake up and it's just, am I going to be angry today? Am I going to find something that makes me feel hopeful and excited today? I don't know. So every day is like a crapshoot.
Right. Well, I find that I run the gamut of emotions on a daily basis.
True.
I woke up this morning and I read a tweet that the douchebag in chief wrote, and I was like, I hate this dude, but it's almost funny because it's so sad, because it's reality. Mm-hmm. This is what we have to deal with. And then I'm happy when I see a clip of Angus King looking for the healthcare bill, lifting up desks in the Senate, on the Senate floor. I know it's around here somewhere. I'm looking for it. That kind of stuff makes me happy. But, you know, I don't think Democrats are dirty enough yet. Like, they're not mm-hmm. fighting dirty enough yet.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for that to happen.
Well, you know who's really impressive is Ron Wyden from Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
He is like,
I love those dudes.
You know, I got to say, I was watching MSNBC a couple of weeks ago, and Ron came on and he was saying that he wasn't going to let this go. And, you know, to look at him, he just looks like an ordinary dude. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think much of it. I kind of thought, man, he is impressive. You know, he just really impresses me. He is a dog with a bone. He won't let this go. He keeps after. Last night they were talking about, I can't remember if it was Rachel, but it might have been Rachel. But they have the Senate Intelligence Committee is looking at Trump's financials, and it looks very promising for us, not for Trump. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fingers crossed there. But, you know, speaking of waking up, yesterday morning, you know, before I get out of bed, I grab my phone and I go to my go-tos, which is as Claude Taylor, who we had on the show the last mm-hmm. time. And I do go to Raw Story because they aggregate stories from bigger, you know, sites like Washington Post, New York Times, Business Insider, Forbes.
Right.
And so I saw this article about Jill Stein, and who I don't like, and I've never made a secret about it. So in the article, she was bashing Democrats, saying that they're pathetic and blaming Russia for Hillary's loss, and on and on. And I was so pissed, because it was like, okay, forget the fact that they had an effect on the election, meaning they had an effect on Hillary's, you know, numbers or whatever. The idea is that a foreign country manipulated our election. That's all you need to know. If you want to be the president of the United States, then you need to up your fucking game and be a leader. So I lost my mind, and I did a Facebook post mm-hmm. about her stating that, and I also like took a screenshot and I posted it to my Twitter. And I tagged her, and so far it's almost up to 600 shares now. And I was really hoping that she would block me. And she did.
Yay! Woo!
But I mean, you know, and someone asked me on Twitter, why do people post, you know, when people like her block them? And, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but I can just say, you know, she was a presidential candidate and I'm a potential voter. Granted, I didn't have friendly things to say about her. I wonder how many people, though, Hillary blocked and Obama blocked. You know, these people don't realize there's a mute on Twitter, which means it's like if you mute someone, they can still see everything and they can still tweet to you, but you don't see what they tweet to you. You see nothing. You don't see them anymore. So I don't understand why Trump, who keeps blocking people like Stephen King and votevets.org, why not just mute them? Because then you don't have to see them. You know, it's like some kind of fuck you that they're saying. But Jill Stein wants to be president, then I would think that if she's got people who don't like her, maybe she should try to talk to them. Maybe she should try to, you know, maybe not talk to me directly, but post things about, you know, countering what her critics are saying.
Well, she's very Trump-like.
She is.
She's a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
And I think you called her an arrogant brat.
Yeah.
Among which other is things. Accurate. And you know who do you know? You got to look at it this way too. Susan Sarandon was one of her surrogates.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a woman who, by the way, I have met and interviewed, is a diva. Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's what I have to say. I don't give a shit what you have to say. And that's essentially what, when Jill Stein blocked you, that's what she said. I'm not interested. I don't care that you have a voice and a vote. She should have done a little work to see who you are and who you know, because you have a sphere of influence that's growing and growing every day. You would think that this is what I don't get about these politicians who really don't give a shit about what their constituents think.
Yeah.
Or how their decisions affect their
constituents.
That's
just so sad and scary, and it's not what this country is about.
No, it isn't. And, you know, I listened to that pig, Catherine, what's her name? Karen Handel, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
And her victory speech. And then I listened to John Ossoff's concession speech, which said, hey, look, let's put the hate aside, as I'm paraphrasing, and let's come together because we are not going to grow and move forward as a country and take care of the people inside this country unless we do it together. And that means Republicans and Democrats coming together. But you don't hear that.
No.
You don't hear that from the leaders and the people that are being supported by Trump. You know, he says that we're 5-0, you know. Well, that's fine, but you have a 36% approval rating and Russia. So keep tweeting, motherfucker.
Yeah, totally keep tweeting. You know, speaking of the 36% approval rating, there is a article in Red State written by Jay Caruso called, and Red State, I believe, is owned or run by Eric Erickson as Bob Seska refers to as the human thumb. And he has blocked me on Twitter. We don't get along. Anyway, so this article says Trump job approval at 36%. And here's why he's to blame. So the author goes on to, you know, give the obvious. Then he starts listing. And I'm not going to read all of them because there's a lot of them. But here's a few things he said. Who was it that hired Paul Manafort and used Carter Page as an advisor despite their ties to Russia that could prove to be problematic? Who was it that shouted at campaign stops, I love WikiLeaks, and would then read from hacked emails, everybody in the IC knows got to WikiLeaks via Russian hackers? And this is the last one I'll read. Who steadfastly refused to acknowledge that Russia tried to interfere with our election process even after being shown a report from the DNI stating that the NSA, CIA, and FBI all believed Russia sought to interfere and that their preference in the election was one Donald J. Trump? Now, this is Red State. Mm-hmm. This sounds like a freaking liberal blog.
Right, right.
And I'm really glad. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And he, you know, all these things like basically who was it was so fucking stupid. And so, I mean, I'm glad to see this. I'm glad to see more and more Republicans, I mean, Red State has never been on the side of Donald Trump, but still, and it's not to say that I love them, because I can't remember what Eric Erickson was in the news for recently, but whatever it was pissed me off. but it's good to see that, you know, some of them are recognizing reality.
Yeah. Except for the politicians.
Well, yeah, they're the slowest to come in. And I mean, I can only surmise that that's about, fear of being primaried. And, you know, because there's the idea that like you take a look at Eric Cantor,
uh-huh.
who lost his seat in Virginia and was mm-hmm. primaried by David Brett, and then who's way more extreme, and Brett won. So I imagine that some of these Republicans are fearful of going against Trump, because it didn't take much for David Brett to get in. There's this small group of extremists out there who will fight tooth and nail. And so I think that's, you know, I mean, aside from the compromise idea that, you know, some of these people are compromised, and there was an article that came out last week saying that, you know, it's like 2,300 people in the media and in Congress have been compromised.
So holy Mary.
God only knows who that is and what is, you know, what Russia has on them. So, you know, I think it's a combination of those two things that keeps these congressional representatives from standing up to Trump.
I speaking of compromat,
mm-hmm.
Do you know more than I? I'm
not
just
necessarily
waiting. Well, I mean, like, you and I can't let go of the pee-pee tape, because that and that with good reason. That was put into our heads by someone in the know.
Yeah.
You know, who's now MIA. Not, I mean, I know that Christopher Steele pops up here and there, but there's gotta be some really, really good compromat. I mean, everywhere we turn, there is, you know, someone new is coming up. Flynn's in discussions with the FBI is all, you know, that was yesterday's news, right?
Yeah.
So this stuff is coming up. You know, somebody, Kyle Griffin, who I love, he's a mm-hmm. producer on the Lawrence, you know Kyle Griffin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lawrence O'Donnell's dude. He's like my favorite.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's awesome. And he said that, you know, Lindsey Graham and the rest of that group, God, I wish I could find the tweet, but nonetheless, they just came out of a closed door session, I believe, with Mueller. That was this morning.
Hmm.
So what the hell is going on? What kind of, you know, who's going to be uncovered?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly is it going to come to pass? Because I'm also hanging on to Citizen Claude's promise to us,
mm-hmm.
or prediction, that we've got 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
I mean, this shit has got to happen. And the patience that I have, it's wearing a little thin, but I, you know, I don't have a lot of control over that.
Well, we're talking weeks here. I mean, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, so I know what you mean, because I even tweeted to him. I spoke with two people, mm-hmm. my parents, actually. I said friends in the tweet, but I just didn't want to necessarily give up who I was talking to. But I was talking to my dad, who doesn't have a lot of faith in the system. And we were talking about if Mueller is fired. So basically, Trump can't fire Mueller, but he can figure out, you know, he can either get Rosenstein to do it, or if Rosenstein recuses himself or gets fired, then it's Rachel Brand. We've got the Saturday Night Massacre thing on our hands. Mm-hmm. But in the end, despite the fact that Mueller is well received on both sides of the aisle, and I mean, people have nothing but praise for him, you know, mm-hmm. they only mm-hmm. praise him. My father thinks that, you know, when you compare this to Watergate, that, you know, back then the GOP had honor and they no longer do. And so he doesn't think anything is going to get done. Then I talked to my mother and I told her what, because they're both so political. And I explained to her, so she's like, no. If he fires Mueller for no reason, that's too much pressure for the GOP. So I don't really know, you know, I'm not sure how this is all going to go down.
Too much pressure for the GOP, because he would be then just, I mean, we know he's a loose cannon, but they would have trouble
defending that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Damage controlling that. Right.
So I don't know, though, because as we all know, I mean, it's that famous saying that the GOP falls in line while Democrats fall in love. And yeah. So, you know, they do tend to just fall in line and go for whatever their dear leader wants them to do.
Well, I don't think Lindsey Graham's a fall in line kind of guy.
In some cases, no, and in some cases, yes. Because I've been seeing him like really hold strong against the Russia thing, but then I see him whimper out. So I'm not, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm certainly not putting all of my hope in Lindsey Graham and John McCain, because mm-hmm. I think in the end they wind up, you know, going with their own. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
I mean, John McCain, my lord, is he even?
He needs to fucking retire.
Poor dude. Yeah, he's an old man.
You know,
now.
And it's
he's,
not
you know,
even that I hate him. I can't stand some of the things that he said or some of his, you know, his ideology or whatever. But if he were my dad, I would be like, you need to retire now. You just need to relax and enjoy your life.
Yeah, daddy.
But he doesn't want to let it go.
No, I don't know. I'm anxious, and I'm getting, it's something that I just can't let go of, but it you know, we've said this before, it's changed us as people, this political climate and what's happening. And, you know, I had to pick up a prescription this morning and I was standing in line at Kaiser, and of course I'm looking at Twitter because why would I not? And I snickered when I saw that Angus King thing. And, a woman in front of me, she goes, just like immediately looks at me and she goes, now granted, I'm in Oakland, so it's probably pretty safe that whomever mm-hmm. was in line in front or behind you is probably not a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. But the woman goes, I'm glad you can laugh about something.
Aww.
And I said, I know. And I said, you want to know what I'm laughing at? And she goes, please share it with me. So we started talking about it. We got in a big healthcare discussion. And you know, she's a Medicare person. She's probably in her late 60s. And, you know, she said she doesn't have a lot of faith. And I said, you know, I've got to have faith. But she goes, I'm from the 60s. We would have been behind barricades mm-hmm. at every turn. Like what, you know, and she wasn't, she obviously looked at me and saw my age and was probably not going to rip on my generation too much.
Yeah.
But it's like, what are you people going to do? And, you know, I'm all for a little bit of kumbaya in that we need to work with the, you know, the Republican Party, the independents, the Greens, mm-hmm. we need to work with all of them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm ready to fight. Mm-hmm. Not physically. Right. I fantasize about physically fighting, but not in reality. But, you know, when are we going to throw down?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, that's the thing. That's the question. What is our breaking point? You know, but what scares me about that is, you know, like I watched a couple of Watergate specials this weekend. One, 2020.
I saw it too.
I saw that there was a 2020 one, and then there was also the MSNBC one, which is actually from 2013.
Which was shocking when I realized that.
Yeah, because Robert Redford asking, "Can you imagine if someone did that today?" It's like, oh, hello. Anyway, it's happening right now. Anyway, so I was watching those, and obviously there was a point where people stood outside of the White House and were screaming. You know, I can't remember what they were chanting to Nixon, but it wasn't favorable.
Right.
I don't know what would happen today if people started doing that to Trump. What I fear is that the military would, you know, become involved and we would see massive arrests and God only knows what else. That's what worries me, is that, you know, we're going to have a, you know, Nixon wouldn't do that, but mm-mm. Trump abso-frickin-lutely he's going to do something like that.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I wonder if people are fearful about something like that. But then again, you know, if it happens that Mueller gets fired, is that the breaking point for us? Because he is so, you know, loved by both sides. And,
right.
and taken so seriously, people. But you know, I wanted to add another thing that I found interesting, and I believe it was last week because the weeks all run together now. But wasn't the Rosenstein comment? I don't know if it's Steen or Stein, so I'll just say Steen. The Rosenstein comment about or statement about fake news or not. No, I'm sorry. The there was a statement that he released. It was an odd statement last week. And basically it was saying that we can't trust anything coming out saying like an anonymous foreign source has information. And so people were speculating that this statement was really by Trump, and mm-hmm. you know, and then Rosenstein worded it to make it sound like it made sense. But right before that statement came out, Claude posted on Twitter, which is True Facts Stated, at True Facts Stated, Claude Taylor. He posted that there's a lot of chatter going on about a foreign power having a compromising tape on Trump or compromising something, whether it's audio. Yeah. And, but we don't know what that is because we don't know which foreign power. We don't have any idea what it is. So I just thought the timing on that was really interesting, you know, mm-hmm, and Claude basically said, I'm not saying that it's actually going to happen or I'm just saying there's conversation about it. People are talking about this. So it appears that conversation got to Trump. And Trump wanted to quickly put the kibosh or the kibosh on it and made Rosenstein release a statement. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing, you know.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
The craziness of Trump, it never ceases to amaze. He continues to top himself almost day to day. I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago, we were laughing about Covfefe, and like, I wish I would have kept like a written list of all the other shit that's happened since then.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much. I mean, I want to just very quickly say something that is uplifting to me, and it's with regards to that Kyle Griffin tweet from a couple of hours ago with the Judiciary Committee coming out of a closed door meeting with Counsel Mueller. And it's just a real quickie. I'll give it to you right now. Mm-hmm. Chuck Grassley, Ranking Member Dianne Feinstein, Lindsey Graham, and Sheldon Whitehouse made the following statement after a closed door meeting with Bob Mueller. And it said, we had a very productive discussion with Special Counselor Mueller today on our parallel investigations to ensure each can proceed without impeding the other. Hmm. We appreciate Special Counselor Mueller's willingness to meet with us, and both parties have committed to keeping an open dialogue as we proceed. Like, that to me, if this is real and this is the way it's going to be done moving forward, uh-huh. that's how government works.
Yeah.
That makes me feel like a grown up, and it makes me feel less like calling Trump a moron and a douchebag and stuff like that, because I feel like this is now I once again for the next, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes, have faith in our political system and have faith in our political leaders. And I will be positive until something else.
Right. Happens. Yeah. Until tomorrow.
until later this afternoon.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, then so this is good. And this is how it's supposed to work. And that's really good news. Right. Yeah. So let's have some faith.
Well, and we got to give it to Mueller for putting together this team. I mean, you know, it's coming out that he's putting in a guy who speaks Russian, speaks English and Russian. There's also a person who's an expert on flipping witnesses.
The flipping dude. I love him.
Oh, this is awesome. He's got so many really heavy hitters in there against Trump's ridiculous team that, you know, can't even put a statement out without a typo in it. What president? How did he say it? Well, they didn't even spell president correctly in the first sentence.
Yeah.
Right after the Sessions. It was right after the Sessions hearing. So it's like, oh my God. I know. Like you said, every day. I mean, there are some days where I'm like, yeah, and I'm feeling really confident. And then other days where I'm like, is anything ever going to happen? But, you know,
it is.
Yet again, though, there's another Claude. I'm going to keep bringing him up, but I can't remember if I already did this. Did I already bring up the fact that Claude was talking about the three kids? He tweeted a while back and then doubled down on it yesterday.
Let's do this one.
He said that all three of Trump's kids he didn't necessarily say they're going to go to jail, but he said they're really going to get in trouble. And they're, I guess, evidently, according to him, there's foreign intercept.
Yeah.
That is, and it's everybody but Tiffany. And then there was an article that came out I don't remember who it was. I think it was Business Insider. I'm going to look that up right now. But either way, it's suggesting that at least Don Jr. and Ivanka are possible, you know, are going to be in the FBI investigation that Mueller's.
So, heaven. What about Eric?
Well, I'm sure that's only a matter of time. And
what about high-pitched Jared? I mean,
oh, and him too. Well, well, Claude included Jared.
Well, that would make four.
Yeah, that would make four. And
the favorite son, Jared.
And then did and you then, have and it, then the, yeah. your favorite? Yes, exactly. Did you see Rachel last night?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I know. I never. I had something. Believe me, I would have.
Well, she did this whole story. It was fascinating. Okay, it was Bloomberg.com that I was talking about. And the Bloomberg.com article, it's Trump, Russia, and a shadowy business partnership. So this article is talk. It mentions the fact that Ivanka and Donald Trump could be part of, you know, Mueller's investigation. But very specifically, this article covers two people. But one of the people that it covers is somebody that Rachel Maddow talked about on her show last night. And his name is Felix Sater. So he's known.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were talking about this guy back in February. In fact, on the it's now the Bob Seska show. It was Bob and Chez. It was probably the last week of Chez's life that they were discussing this guy. And he is a senior advisor to the Trump campaign. He's known Trump for a long time. Russian-born American, real estate developer, and was an advisor to Trump organization. He's connected to the mob, and he's worked as an informant for the FBI and supposedly the CIA. And he served a year in prison for stabbing a man in the face with a margarita glass, what was like a broken margarita glass, during a bar fight. And it was like over, it was like 111 stitches or something. And so he was an informant for the FBI, to the FBI, where is it, for purchasing Stinger missiles and other weapons. And then it says, on the then wild and freewheeling Russian black market. So I posted about this on my Facebook page with a couple of different articles. And I guess we're going to be hearing a lot about this Felix dude coming up.
Yeah.
He's going to, you know, and the fact that he's been an informant for the FBI and, yeah. he, you know, he's connected to the mob.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, hello. 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah. And so this also is like people who keep saying, where's the proof? Where's the proof? Well, first of all, we're not going to get all the proof yet because, hello, there's an FBI investigation going on and a Senate intelligence investigation and a House investigation. But we've got this person right here has been dealing with Trump for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's just showing us that these ties are deep and long.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's ridiculous for anyone to even suggest that Russia is a non-issue at this point in the game. Like
I feel like it's all going to come together because who's the dude, the British dude, Nigel, somebody.
Farage. Yeah. Nigel Farage.
Yes. I wanted to say Tufnell, but it was Nigel Farage. And I mean, coming out of the embassy where Julian Assange was staying in South America, I can't remember the country, but you know, the day before.
And then not remembering why he was there. Oh.
And not remembering why he was there.
Like right as he left.
Yeah, exactly. As pictures were being snapped of him exiting the building, smiling, you know, and then he's having dinner at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Like 15 seconds later. It's insane. And I think all of this, that, you know, we know about it. Mueller's knowing about it.
Yeah.
His team, the Flipper, knows about it. Like, this is going to be some of the best television viewing of our lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, remember Iran-Contra?
Yes.
Watergate, all of this stuff that went down for, you know, the OJ trial. Like, this is going to, no pun intended, trump all of that.
It will.
And I don't even know how I'm going to exist.
I know.
Really. I mean, I'm going to have a full-time freaking job. What am I going to do? I'm going to have my headset on and I'm going to have MSNBC in my ear all day long.
I know. It's going to be amazing. And I mean, I just, although, you know, Mueller is known for doing things kind of behind closed doors. So it'll be interesting to see what we can eventually learn when all is said and done. But, you know, one thing that I am hopeful about is that who knows what's going to happen to Trump, right? Mm-hmm. There was somebody, and I can't even remember who it was, but it was somebody who was suggesting, and I think it was on MSNBC the other night, that there is a possibility for Trump to get prosecuted. But I'm not sure about the details on that. So I don't want to go too far, but let's just go on the assumption that he can't be prosecuted.
No, he pays prostitutes.
Yes, he pays those hookers. Let's say he can't be prosecuted. Well, if he's not president anymore, yeah, then he could. Like, if for some reason he is impeached or asked to resign. But I guess he could pardon his kids. But what I would love to see is his kids going to jail. I would love that.
God.
I mean, I just, there is something about Ivanka Trump. You know, she's so breathy and pouty, and she acts like she's just.
Oh, the voice makes me so.
Yeah, and
insane.
She acts like she cares so much, and it's like she's just. I just call her Ivanka Antoinette, and she.
Yes, exactly.
I want her to go to jail. I hope that she's guilty and fucking goes to jail.
You know, I have to say this is me being. Well, as just a parent, but as a person, like, I feel so bad that these people have decided to procreate.
Yeah.
Because their kids are going to grow up with, you know, Jared's dad's already a convicted felon. I mean, yeah. Daddy and mommy could go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then they're just so blind to scruples and to doing things in a moral way that they're putting their kids in a bad position.
Yeah.
And the kids don't have a choice. Arabella doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And, you know, but Ivanka.
Well, you know, there's Tiffany. Evidently, she's not in any trouble.
And you know what? Tiffany, the one that everybody was making fun of, yeah. And the one that was just sort of like the outcast.
Mm-hmm.
Who had the bad, you know, was one of the first to speak at the convention,
mm-hmm.
and everybody blew her off. She's the smartest one in the bunch, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a woman that I know, I don't know her, but I've met her, and she's like a friend of a friend. She had posted on her Facebook page a picture of a time, you know, I don't know, maybe back in the early 90s when she was on a boat with Donald and Marla, and she had all kinds of nice things to say about how lovely Marla was. And then basically about Trump, she's like, I can't say the same about him. And that's mm-hmm. as far as she would go. But mm-hmm. it was very clear she had a very low opinion of him. So, mm-hmm. you know, I guess Marla, obviously Marla married Trump for, you know, there was the fame attraction, and he was wealthy, and I'm not going to call her a gold digger. I don't know her, you know, but she, I'm sure there was like, oh, that's exciting. You know, he's rich. He's famous.
Oh, and
he's
powerful. And that was, you know, how many, 30 years ago?
Yeah. And
he wasn't
that
anywhere
didn't last.
Near as disgusting.
Right.
At least physically.
Yeah.
You know,
although he was,
and
always
I know it's,
pretty
that's not nice
disgusting.
To shame people
well,
based on their
he's
physical
just
appearance,
gross.
But he's exempt.
Yeah. He is exempt. Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. him. You know, I do want to talk, though, because I want your opinion on this.
Okay.
I'm kind of split on the special elections. So here's, I just want to preface all of this by saying, number one, the DNC did not support or whether it was showing up for support or financial, the candidate in South Carolina, who actually came pretty close to winning. With no support from the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, what I hear, he was like a Bernie-crat type. Then there was the guy in Nevada who was also a Bernie-crat. Didn't get any support. John Ossoff got support. So there is chatter.
Didn't live in the district.
Right. There's chatter out there online, people saying that, you know, the DNC is not supporting Bernie-crats and is supporting people who are more like, you know, what they're calling establishment Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that argument. And then there's also the idea that, you know, like, I mean, I feel that Democrats need a better message. They need better messaging. They need to take on a different strategy. And I posted on my Facebook page last night that, you know, we can't just focus on pointing at the Republicans and screaming, oh, look how awful they are, and expect to win. Mm-hmm. So, right. So somebody corrected me and they were right. And they said, well, Ossoff didn't do that. He never talked about Trump Russia. He pretty much always just, you know, talked up what Democrats could do. And of course, right. I mean, it is a red state and it is gerrymandered. I mean, it's very easy to get pissed off, which I did. I got pissed mm-hmm. off, mm-hmm. Mainly because not so much at what happened in Georgia, but because South Carolina got no support from Democrats.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe Democrats are hurting for money, right? Still, go there, help, set things up. Yeah, there's some money involved, mm-hmm. but you can do so much online. You can go talk to your constituents. There's all kinds of support that this guy could, I don't know his name, so pardon me, that the Democrat who was running in South Carolina, you know, there's so much that can be done that's not that expensive in the world of, you know, online activism, but then also, you know, just going out. I don't know what he was doing. Whatever he was doing was working because mm-hmm. in a red state, he came within a few points.
Right.
So I'm not really sure.
Archie Parnell.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know what? I am a big supporter of NARAL. And this is, I'm not deviating. I'm actually going to bring this back around.
Okay.
I look at what they do. They're, you know, it's the political arm of the pro-choice movement. Mm-hmm. And their stance is, if you are a Democrat, you are pro-choice.
Yes.
Period. The end. They go after the Heath Mellows of the Democratic Party for not towing that line. That's a deal breaker for a Democrat. If you mm-hmm. are not a pro-choice Democrat, you don't. They're going to terrorize you, mm-hmm. and terrorize is the wrong word. Ugh, what a poor choice of words right now. But they're going to go after you, and they are going to hold your feet to the fire, and they're going to either make you change or they're going to get you unelected.
Yeah.
Okay. And I look at the men and women of NARAL, mostly women, and you know they're in D.C. next week. All of the heads of all of the states go out there and they are going to fight for healthcare. And why can't the Democratic, the DNC, or the Tom Perez and Keith Ellison get together and say, you know what? It's got to be kind of guerrilla warfare like this.
Yeah.
And if we don't, because it doesn't take money, because guess what? There are people like you and me who would get in our car and drive down to San Diego to scream in Daryl Issa's face at a town hall meeting, or to go and politic on behalf of his opponent,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't cost money. I'm willing to go out of pocket to fill my gas tank and make signs and do that. And that's what needs to be happening. And that's what NARAL does. And they have volunteers who are ready to go out and get dirty, so to speak. You know,
yeah.
The DNC does not do that.
Yeah.
They send me a lot of emails and they ask me for a lot of money.
Right.
I started giving my money to the candidates directly.
That's what Debbie Wasserman Schultz was doing. You know, I mean, it was always about these freaking doom emails that
right.
were just, you know, they were making me so angry. I was posting about it and it was like, oh my God, stop with the freaking doom.
Right. Let's doom. There is doom, but we all know that there's doom. How can I will give money. I gave money to Randy Bryce yesterday. By the way, he's my new favorite person in the entire world.
Who is he?
You know about Iron Stash?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to come back to him.
Okay.
But what I want to see from Tom Perez is an email that says, hey, guess what? You live in Oakland. Would you be willing to grab your friend in next door, gas up your car, and make some signs and go down and fight in San Diego for us?
Yeah.
Because we need to get Daryl Issa out of Congress. Would you be willing to drive to, you know, Kevin McCarthy's district or to wherever? Would you be willing to get on a plane on your own dime and go fight in Arizona? And my answer is abso-fucking-lutely. and I know a shit ton of people who are willing to do the same. Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to win. You know, maybe this is what we do next, Kimberly. Maybe we tap into some of our influential friends and start something on our own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, I've been thinking about different things. I mean, one of the things that I think Democrats could definitely utilize is just language. you know, because there was the Tom Luntz, is that his name? Frank Luntz. And even Newt Gingrich came up with a bunch of words that are, you know, they're motivating words, or they're words that make you feel something, that make you feel angry or make you feel excited. And so the GOP uses those words when they're out there selling their brand. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. And it's not to say that it's a manipulation, but it's, you know, we need to get all of these people who are not voting interested, you know, that we need to tap, you know, it's like Tom Perez and Keith Ellison need to not only take advantage of the activism warriors that are out there, but they've got to find a way to reach these people who are not paying attention. That is something Obama figured out. And did it well. He did a very good job. I don't understand where's the big fucking mystery. The strategy is there. Use it. You know, there was also the strategy of, you know, the 2006 midterm elections where Rahm Emanuel, who I'm not a fan of at all, figured out how to basically flip the House and put Democrats in a solid majority. And, you know, I mean, we had the House, we had the Senate, we had the presidency. Or no, no. We had Bush. So that was in 2006. So at least we had Congress. And but the problem is once that and the way they did it was, you know, and I know that a lot of purists out there would scream and shout, but I would rather win and then evolve to where we could eventually get it to a more progressive state. But, you know, the people that were hand selected were people who looked like those people who lived in those counties,
right?
You know, whether they were Christian or, you know, and I believe that, like, for instance, one of the hot button issues obviously is abortion, as you were just saying. So if there's a, let's say there's a pro-life Democrat who votes pro-choice, then, which I have no problem with, because I think that's all, that pro-choice is all about that. It's like, you don't have to choose it, but you don't get to tell everybody else how they're to live. And I know that there's always going to be a certain group of people who will never be convinced, but that's a minority. So the way you convince them is you explain how it affects their bottom line, how it affects their kitchen table, or, you know, how they pay their rent, because there's more money in your pocket when people have reproductive freedom, whether it's access to birth control, whether it's access to, you know, and explain why in simple terms. So it's not all, it doesn't sound confusing and legal and boring. You know, you explain it to people. You always tie in the economy, because no matter what, that's the number one issue where people vote. Democrats need to do more of that. And so you start off by using faces of the people who, you know, hey, that guy looks like me, or that woman looks like me, you know, like Sarah Palin. She did such a good, she was so well received initially because everybody identified with her.
Cause she was a hockey mom.
Yeah. And
you betcha she was.
You betcha. But yeah, I mean, this people, and I've made this point before where, you know, I've known somebody who worked in two different locations, right? Let's just say it's an office. One office paid a lot of money, treated their employees like shit. The other office treated their employees great. Those employees made less money. But the employees who made less money and were treated great loved their jobs and were completely loyal to their employers because they felt appreciated, and their employers made them feel that they were worth something. And so the same goes for voters. If voters feel that they're being listened to, that they're not being, you know, just in an audience having some politicians scream things at them, if they feel like people are taking the time to talk to them and to listen to them, that goes so far. It goes so much farther than $1 or $100 or $1 million.
Yep.
Just feeling appreciated and listened to. And, you know, I'm no longer Bernie Sanders' fan, although I still like his platform. He knows how to talk to those people.
Yes, he does.
He knows how to simplify complicated subjects to where it's brought back to, you know, the kitchen table politics.
Absolutely. And okay, so that brings me back to Randy Bryce.
Yes.
B-R-Y-C-E. His Twitter handle is at Iron Stash. Okay.
I'm going to go to him right now.
Go there now. Okay. So Joy Reid turned me on to Randy Bryce. Randy Bryce is an iron worker. He's been an iron worker for over 20 years. He is in the southeastern Wisconsin area in Paul Ryan's district. He is running for that seat in 2018. Yesterday morning, when I heard about who he was and watched his 2.5 minute beautiful Congress campaign announcement, he's clearly a man who he must represent his iron workers union.
Oh, my mother wrote about him. Yeah.
Okay. He moved me. I got the chills. Okay. I immediately made a $25 donation to his campaign. He speaks beautifully from the heart. He exudes confidence, but humility. I mean, I'm not trying to sound melodramatic. It made me wish I lived in his district so I could cast my vote for him. The dude is real, mm-hmm. and he is well spoken. And what he said, and I tweeted it on my page with all of my, you know, my vast hundreds of Twitter followers saw this. A line that really stuck with me is, I believe that if somebody falls behind, we are so much stronger if we carry them with us. And Robert Reich tweeted it 3 hours ago. He must have seen it on my page.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, he's the real deal. He's what the type of person you were just talking about.
Yeah.
And he's the kind of man. He had 24,000 Twitter followers at 7:30 yesterday morning. He has 70,000 now.
Wow. I just followed him.
Okay. I think we need to reach out to him, Kimberly.
Yeah, we should. Okay.
You never know. You don't get if you don't ask.
Right.
But I'm just saying, this is the kind of man who, this is what they were talking about. This is Michael Moore's poster child.
Yeah.
For the resistance and for how we're going to change this country. And go, are you looking at him right now?
Yeah. I'm posting about him on my Facebook page because my mother did an article on him. On Liberals Unite, so I'm posting about it on my Facebook page.
Yeah, your mom writes some good shit.
Yeah.
And she makes me feel smart. I'm like, oh, I like, you know what? Ann Werner said it, so. and I, you know, I read it. I love it. I surround myself with brilliant people, but I love this Randy Bryce. And wait till we're done and you watch this YouTube piece.
Yeah, it's in the piece that I'm going to watch it. I think I actually saw a little bit about it him the other night. But the article that I just posted on my Facebook page has his video. Anyway, in the documentary Housequake, which talked about the 2006 election, that, you know, it was fascinating to see how that's exactly what happened. We had people who looked like their constituents going door to door and talking, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. old people were answering the door and they were skeptical. Who is this young Democrat knocking on my door? Mm-hmm. But the young Democrat took the time to just listen to them and you know, convinced a lot of these people that, you know, they should be voting for the Democrat because they're the ones who really had their best interests and you know, they presented a good argument. So, I mean, it really isn't rocket science. Obviously,
no.
we've got people who fight dirty. We've got people who fight with all kinds of money. And, you know, so there's definitely, and we've got gerrymandering, which is a huge, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that it's easily winnable, but it's something that can happen because we've done it before. You know, unfortunately, right now, our country is so divided and it's like, you know, the right lives just to troll the left. It doesn't matter if their guy or gal is like a freaking serial killer as long as it pisses us off. That's all mm-hmm. they care mm-hmm. about. And it's just, it's gotten to the point where we just need to find a way. If Democrats are ignoring people in the, you know, the voters in the red states, we're doing ourselves a huge disservice because Bernie Sanders proved that those people can be flipped mm-hmm. if they are paid attention to,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
indeed.
I'm angry that he is not being more unifying. But I can't deny the talent that he has for making complicated issues understandable and making mm-hmm. people feel like, you know, hey, this guy's listening to me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed.
So You know what? I want to talk to you about this healthcare bill, because it's really scary what's happening. I mean, they're doing it all in secret.
Yeah.
What the fuck? You know, and there's all these tweets that everybody's finding going, you know, this didn't hold up well, where, you know, whether it's Mike Huckabee or whoever is criticizing Democrats for whatever they were supposedly doing behind closed doors. Yet now the Republicans are doing it. So there is a chance that the Senate could pass this.
Oh, of course.
We've got to recognize this and fight it. But there, you know, traditionally speaking, the way that it works is that, you know, if there's any word that's different in what they passed in the House, then it goes to conference committee. Unless there's any particular parliamentary rules or shortcuts that the Republicans can use to blast this thing through, traditionally speaking, it's got to be hashed out if anything is different than what they passed in the House a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. So there's hope for that, but we don't want it to even get that far.
No, but honestly, don't, you know, Mitch McConnell is being so incredibly vague. I mean, he's quite possibly the grossest person.
Yes.
Number two to Trump. And then, you know, like, how much more time do we have to list the rest of them? But he, you know, he's being so vague. He says that the public has had plenty of time. We've given tons of information about what we want. It will be no surprise. You will have ample time to review it. Okay? But no, it's being done in secret. It's going to hurt. It's going to put 23 million or 24 million people out of healthcare. You have a pre-existing condition. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to defund Planned Parenthood. So women who can't afford breast cancer screenings are going to die. Okay? They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They're going forward with it. They need 50 Senate votes and Mike Pence to break the tie. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm sorry, but that it's designed so that it will happen. Designed by Mitch McConnell, whose wife's family ships cocaine over in their fucking boats.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the people who are making the decisions for the American people. It's insanity. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm so sad that this is our reality. And this, at the same time, these people who are voting for them may not be around to cast their votes for them next time.
Yeah.
Do they not realize this? Is that basic math not something they're capable of doing?
Evidently, you know, or they're,
but doesn't
their
that, I mean, they're not stupid people.
No. It just comes down to the idea of, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's brainwashing. It's all this Fox News crap that they're getting disinformation. And then they're, you know, like I went over to Chicks on the Right page after and several days after it was announced that Trump was under investigation for obstructing justice. Nothing. They said nothing of it. So many people don't even understand that this is happening. Mm-hmm. And anything talked about, anything that, you know, is brought up about Russia, it's so easy to dismiss because they don't really have enough of the details. If you sat down and showed them all the details, I mean, there's this great movie. It's a documentary called The Brainwashing of My Father. And so is this guy who, you know, listened to, he started listening to hate radio, toxic hate radio, right wing fanatical hate radio when he would drive to work, which is, of course, very dangerous because you've got these people, just like we're doing right now, you know, feeling like when people listen to you, on a podcast or on a radio show, you almost feel like you're in the room with them and you're part of that discussion. And so they're being fed all these lies and they're also being manipulated into hating the other side.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not just lies. It's like, man, we really need to hate these liberals because they're so this and they're so that. So it's this combination of disinformation, misinformation mixed in with this psychological kind of manipulation to make people angry. And you know, and it's like, for instance, I was on Bob's show the other day and I brought this up. I think it was the day after it was announced that the president was under investigation. They were complaining because feminists, like, I guess, I don't even know if they use the term feminists, but the fact that women, some women are getting their nails done and, you know, they're having little nipples put on their fingernails and they're acting like, you know, this is what feminists are worried about. And it's like, first of all, I never heard of these nipple things on fingernails. I don't know who's doing it, but I have never heard of it. And they're acting like, you know, I one of the comments from one of the Facebook followers of Chicks on the Right, it was a woman, and she said something along the lines of like, those feminists are such sluts. I'm so glad I'm like a normal woman. And, you know, I mean, hey, if you want to put nipples on your fingernails, I really don't give a shit.
I don't care. But you want to look stupid? Please,
yeah,
feel free.
Exactly. And it really
It was
awful
right
looking.
Here for you.
I got some nipples right here.
I got
here.
Some nipples for you.
But I mean, they're so concerned about that. Yet they have no fucking clue their president is being investigated by the FBI. They just hear what the talking heads tell them, and then they go with that. So, you know, yeah, it's quite scary that these are the people, and they clearly will vote for the monsters who will take everything away from them, and then it'll be too late.
And so what's going to happen here, I fear, is that it is going to be taken away from them. And then that's when things are going to turn. That's
what's
going to happen.
Take it away from me. You know, I freaking have Obamacare. It just makes me freaked out. It's horrible.
And, you know, here we are in California, just... I thank my lucky stars for that very regularly.
Well, I'm only going to be in California for less than a year now. So I'm going
to... Well, don't get sick.
I know.
But
don't
guess
get
what?
Sick and don't die.
That was meant to be funny, but it's not.
No, I know.
But listen, you're going to be okay, because here's what's going to happen. And this is going to happen. The new Trump Care is going to be put into effect, right? People are going to get hosed left and right. In a year, we are going to be, you and I are going to be talking about the 2018 midterms.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's going to be our topic of discussion. And we're going to be even more.
But if Trump Care goes into effect, well, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen right away.
Right.
But
I mean,
like, let's say that it actually does. It's not like it's an easy fix to switch it back to Obamacare. It's not like it's so easy just to turn the light switch on and off. It's going to be fucking hell.
It is. But we'll do what they did.
Yeah,
we're going to do what they did.
I hope so, man.
We are.
Okay.
And some, you know, it's going to be good. I wish I was. I want to run for Congress.
I wish I wanted to.
That's never going to happen. But
I have too many. I have too many things that they would just attack me on. I can't even imagine.
Oh my God. Believe me. I'm a recovering alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, they would never let you go for that.
But you know what?
I took mushrooms in high school and I,
oh my God,
I passed out at the Griffith Park Observatory and had to be taken away in an ambulance.
I never had that happen, but I've, I should have stock in the Colombian cartels. Let's just put it that way. Okay.
Yes. Well, I've tried everything except for heroin. Thank God.
No,
and I've never tried crystal meth.
I haven't done crack or heroin.
Yeah. No crack, no crystal meth. No. Well, no. Did I actually try? Did I try that? Yes, I did. Long time ago. Was it meth?
Yeah, I tried it too 20 times.
I
don't care. I wear that as a badge of honor. I'm a sober person for 17 years. I contribute to this society. I do what I say.
Right.
I've got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did some really questionable things in the past. And if that comes up, it comes up. I would take it head on.
Right.
But you want to know, I just want to make sure I get my wording right on this. But you know the movements to impeach that were started. I think Alameda was one of the first cities to do it. New York, LA have done it now.
Yeah.
Is this, yeah, right? So Oakland, we're moving to have that happen in Oakland right now. And I am speaking next Tuesday night at the city council meeting on behalf of the group that is moving to have that happen.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. And I, you know, I'm going to just put myself out there.
Yeah.
Because we don't get anything done. And, you know, you and I, we're people of action. That's for sure. Right. But here's how we get it started. You know, I'm going to throw as much shit against the wall as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And just keep fighting and keep moving. And, you know, it gets other people excited about it. I have, you know, I'm fortunate enough to live in an area where people really do what they say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I want to talk about one more thing before we go into another thing. And I actually just figured out, I think we can talk about drugs, our own personal drug use and, you know, in our segment and another thing. So, this is a perfect time to tell everybody that you can support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. So you can pledge $1, you can pledge $5. If you pledge $5, you get to listen to the extra segment and another thing. And then you're not limited to anything. You can pledge whatever the hell you want, $10, $50, $100. We're just indies who need money. So if you enjoy listening to us, it's a great way to support indie podcasters. But that's so for right. The last little thing we're going to talk about here is here's a tweet. I don't know if I'm going to say his name right. Judd Legum. How do you know how to say his name?
No, I'm hungry for food though.
I know. Legum. Legum. Here's what he tweeted yesterday. People who've hired lawyers, the attorney general, the vice president, the president's son-in-law, the president's lawyer. So it's like, damn. Everybody's lawyering up. This is insane. Yeah. And there was a bit in 1999 on the show The West Wing where the aides of the president had to get lawyers. And there was a clip on the show saying that if they were 100% innocent and had nothing to worry about, they were looking at $100,000. Mm-hmm. So all these aides working for the president have to lawyer up. I can't remember... yeah, like for instance, Rachel Maddow was talking about Mike Pence, who right after it was announced that he was under investigation for obstruction, I think it was the following day, Pence held a fundraiser for his super PAC. And then I guess Rachel Maddow reached out to Pence and wanted to know who's going to be paying for his legal fees. And they wouldn't answer her except to say that it wouldn't be coming out of basically taxpayer money. So he is hiring a super PAC, which I think is interesting for two reasons. Number one, he's going to need money for a lawyer because he, unlike Trump, isn't a wealthy, you know, Trump was wealthy. Pence is just I'm sure he has money and everything, but he's not like super wealthy. And the idea that, there might be a job opening for him pretty soon. A new job, like moving on up.
yeah, exactly.
Not that I'm excited about that because I'm not. I want Trump to go down, but there's a whole new nightmare when it comes to Mike Pence.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk about fast tracking. There, you know, we saw in 2010 when the Tea Party took over a lot of seats in Congress, how quickly in 2011 they were able to get shit done. They just, you know, Democrats love to explain how long everything takes. Tea Party was just getting bills passed right and left at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, everybody is lawyering up. So it'll certainly be interesting. And, We're gonna go over to end another thing.
Yep.
So don't forget, you can support us at patreon.com/startmeup. And if you want to hear us talk about all of our exciting drug use,
Yes. Yes. Oh my. This is perfect right before I start the new job.
Well, it'll be on in another thing. So they, unless they pay $5, they won't hear it.
Hey now. Hey, they know me. These people know me. I got nothing to hide. Like I said, Steph for Congress.
All right. All right, everybody. Well, we will talk with you next time.